We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello and welcome back to Minneapolis. I'm Gabe Ibrahim on the Her Hoop Stats podcast. We just watched two Final Four games. Not going to attach adjectives to them at the moment, but we're going to talk about them with the Her Hoop Stats crew, and they're going to introduce themselves in just a second. But make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel or listening to us on your podcast. Like, hit the subscribe button. Follow us on Twitter at Her Hoop Stats. You can't find all our Twitters. We'll say them, but like you know, you get it. Just like Google us if you like us. But yeah, let's go around the table. Introduce yourself. Aaron, you can go first.
Hey, it's Aaron Barzilai, back again. I appreciate you letting me return, Gabe.
In his normal seat here in the Elliott Park Autograph Collection Marriott.
We are on set. We've saved money compared to ESPN with their production budget, but it's great to be here in the same seat as last night.
Yep. Yeah, let's keep it going.
Hi, I'm Anila. Everyone knows me from Twitter, at Hoops Blogger. I do WNBA and women's college basketball as for Her Hoop Stats, as well as for my own blog, and I'm excited to talk about these games.
And you can see our competing mock drafts on WNBA.com somehow.
Ooh,
right? We actually have to have the debate. We haven't had that debate
What's
yet.
What's the bet? That's the question about who's more accurate.
We have to come up with something. We do, because she's been doing it a lot longer than I have. But let's keep it to the games. And I said we're not going to attach adjectives to them because I think some of our adjectives may be a little bit negative, because I think today's games were not the most entertaining games of this tournament thus far. You look at the box score, and for South Carolina and Louisville game, which South Carolina won pretty handily, Louisville only led for a minute and 26 seconds. You look at the UConn-Stanford game, a game that was much closer in the score for most of the game, but still UConn wins and Stanford only leads for a minute. So not a ton of back and forth. I'd say there was some good basketball, but I actually think the better basketball was in that Louisville-South Carolina game. But, I should say the final score. South Carolina wins 72-59. Connecticut wins 63-58. So just what was your big takeaway from these two games? Am I being a little too harsh here about the quality or fun of them?
Yes. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay, that's fair.
I do think South Carolina proved that they're the best team in the country tonight, mm-hmm. because of the way they came out and they took care of one of Louisville's biggest stars in Haley Van Lith, mm-hmm. and they limited her. And I think she only finished with like 9 points, and they did a good job defending her. And so I think, and the way they played that game was in the way that they showed, like, even if the game gets close, or even the game gets within the, like, the other team can come close, they can show that they can manage it and that they can win it. So I thought South Carolina was very impressive, and I was very impressed by their win. As for the second game, it's a little bit, it was a little bit of a, let's just say this nicely. It was a little bit of a, like...
slog?
Yeah, slug. A slugfest.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just being...
That's very nice.
That's very generous. Yeah. Connecticut and Stanford fans, that's very generous. You guys know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No, but I agree. So, like what you're saying, like, South Carolina was ridiculously impressive. And they have been. I mean, we can go through a Leah Boston stat line now at this point. 23 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. That was absolutely nasty. So you're right. Like, the defense for South Carolina, which has been there all season long, and Leah Boston, who has been there all season long, they were spectacular. You know, Aaron, did you come away from this game with any new thoughts about South Carolina? Or is this just like, I feel like this team is just mowing down every challenge in front of them. Like, even when we were concerned about the offense, they just kept going, and now they're at this point where I don't know who can stop
Kentucky.
Well, I get.
I mean, I think that, you know, it's not like they're on a whatever. You know, Stanford came in, I think it was a 24 game win streak before tonight, right? So they're not on a 24 game win streak. They're, I guess, a 5-game win streak. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, there's no doubt in my mind anything can happen. They were clearly impressive. You know what really stood out, right? And to me, might have been that opening run, right? Yeah. Like, there was a chance they were going to be nervous or kind of anxious about getting back to the, trying to get to the championship game. And, you know, they came out on fire. They ended up hitting, I was just looking it up, you know, they shot 47% today, 35% from three. They had 6 threes. Louisville only had 1. They shot 1 of 8. So, like, if they're going to score, if they're, you know, if they're playing quite well, I don't think they need to play their A game to win. I didn't think they need to play their A game tonight. Okay. I don't think they need to play their A game to beat UConn.
No.
I think, though, that if they're not playing their B game, they can absolutely lose. And so we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm not, you know, convinced. I was just looking before our hot off the presses model.
Yeah.
I think it gives, you know, we still favor by South Carolina by almost 6 points, which was basically what we, I believe, said for what we favored them, a little less, but essentially what we favored them over Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely, they looked strong tonight. It was impressive. You know, and so I think it could happen.
No, I think it could happen too. But I think that the B is not necessarily a letter grade. The B is for Boston. Because it's like, if she's on the court, if she's on the court and she's not fouled out and like, or whatever, she's going to dominate. Like, there's just so, it's so difficult to stop her at this point, because it's not even like they're not even like feeding her the ball that well. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's like she's just grabbing boards. She's just putting it in the basket. When she touches the ball, it goes in. And to your point, that early run really set them up for success, because Zaya Cook hit a couple threes. So it was like Louisville really crammed it in, tried to go with the what I'm calling the Miami model of just like a super tight 2-3 zone, where basically you have the guards on the elbows and the wings are very tight in on the it's outside of the shooter, just mm-hmm. leaving the shooter in the corner. And it kind of killed them in the first couple minutes. And then they had to switch. And then that's when it gets going for South Carolina. So the timing of it, too, I think is just super important. But, you know, I agree, it's possible. Maybe we'll save that a little bit more for tomorrow, because you have to think a little bit more about South Carolina's matchups with UConn. But in this game, too, like with Louisville, I do want to mention, like, Emily Ancler, I thought, was brilliant.
Yeah,
do you agree?
Yeah, she was. She came out, and she was there hustling for rebounds. At one point in the first quarter, I think she was close to, like, a double-double.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought she was putting her heart out there.
Yeah.
And I think she was just telling Louisville that she appreciated being at Louisville and being at the Final Four and showing her heart and grit. And so I thought she really put herself out there in terms of being a top, like one of the, like, at least top 12 draft pick, because she really showed like WNBA GMs like, hey, like I can do, like I can hustle, I can rebound, I can score, and I'm willing to put myself out there like a glue player.
Yeah, so, and yeah. She showed a lot of leadership, like you're mentioning. Well,
So you didn't catch this. We were down there for the press conference. There was a question about Haley Van Lith that asked of Haley Van Lith, and she was talking about what she's learned from both Kiana Smith and Emily Ancler, and how they really kind of taught her to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted to pop in on that. And, it was, you know, they were all, you know, fairly emotional, I thought, during the press conference, very committed. But it was just amazing to hear about the impact that Engstlert had on Van Lith already. And Van Lith said, I don't know if you heard this, that you know, it sounds like she's going to be at the draft to support them in New York in a little over a week.
That's awesome.
So I say hi, Gabe.
I will try to say hi to them. I see them on TikTok pretty often. Emily's in a lot of Haley's TikToks. Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, the leadership was great to see. You know, she really had her whole heart out there. But I think also the other thing that I think at WNBA GMs saw today, that if they weren't believers, maybe made them believers, was one, she was able to put the ball in the basket, which like hasn't always been there for her. Her shot making comes and goes a little bit. So putting the ball in the basket is a big deal. And then I think like being she. As much as is possible when you give up 23 points and 18 rebounds to a player, she stood up to Aaliyah Boston. You know, she was out-sized, right? Like, she's ridiculously undersized compared to Aaliyah Boston. And she was able to do some decent things in the post. And we've seen other post players of a similar size not be able to do that. And I just think, you know, her showing that she has the strength and the sturdiness to kind of stand up in those situations is huge, because if she wants to be this very high WNBA draft pick, which I think she could be, I think she does have the potential to be a three, but if she doesn't need to necessarily like immediately transition to being a three and she can play the four, that's going to be huge for her career. So I think that may be a thing that you know she put on tape and in front of all of the WNBA GMs, because they're all here, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, just about. Did we mention, I forget, did you actually say the words four steals tonight? Did I hear that?
No, I didn't. I have not mentioned the four steals. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because she's been going off. I forget the exact details. We'll let the, as an exercise to the listener, we'll let you look it up. But I forget, I don't know if she already set the record maybe for most steals. ESPN Stats and Info, I think, tweeted that. Because she had like five steal games. I think she might be up 23 or now 24, perhaps. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
In the five games of the tournament. It's ridiculous.
No, she has been outstanding in every single regard, but other than the win. And Haley Van Lith, too, like, you mentioned she struggled. She did. But she was still in it, too. I thought that was huge for Louisville, just, like, staying in it, telling her team, like, hey, let's get going. Mm. So I thought that was big.
Yeah, they commented on that, about how they never really gave up, and they were proud of that. That was another press conference comment I recall.
Yeah, that team doesn't give up. They're a team that doesn't give up. So
when did you give up on them though today? Let me ask you that. It sounds like we're going to move over. So I want to ask that first.
When did I give up? What do you want to answer first? When did you give up on Louisville winning that game?
Like mid third quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was starting to realize, hey, wait, South Carolina is showing that they're dominant, and they're showing that they have that answer, and then that they're able to go on runs and able to close. And then show, yeah, hey, we're going to be a team that potentially could be the national champion.
We're not going to stumble here.
Yeah, we're not going to stumble.
It was when, for me, I was holding out hope until Engstlert fouled out. Because she fouled out, like, mid-fourth quarter?
Yeah.
I kept saying, also, I was, like, rooting for the cover, because it was an 8.5-point spread. So I was rooting for the backdoor cover, and they lost. They didn't end up covering.
Yeah, I can't tell you the moment, but I felt like it was much earlier than that to me. And it turned out to feel a little bit this way when UConn made the run there in the fourth quarter for Stanford. Mm-hmm. Like, it kept feeling like the teams were close, but I didn't feel like there was a chance we could get over the hump. Whereas for that NC State-UConn game that I was at for Bridgeport, I felt like, hey, I've seen NC State in this moment. And I feel like I've seen Louisville in particular in this moment as well, where they, you know, the shots start falling and they hit it late. NC State, like, I thought they would find a way. I didn't think it was going to be quite what we saw in that crazy Elite Eight game on Monday. But it didn't quite feel like that. You know, I was looking, we were talking about it, for this Louisville-South Carolina game, Louisville only had the lead for a minute 26 seconds, right? And actually, for the UConn-Stanford game, Stanford only had the lead for a minute and 6 seconds. So it felt like they were, like, knocking the door, getting close. Jeff Walls commented on the press conference. You know, they took shots, but they just weren't going in. I think Louisville ended up hitting 43%. They went 1 for 8 from three. They only had 12% of their threes. They didn't take that many. And so it just kind of felt that, you know, if they'd gotten a couple bounces, it was like they would take the shot and had a chance to cut it, but it didn't go in. And then suddenly, instead of a 4-point lead, a 6-point lead would go to a, whatever, a 9-point lead or something. And it just, once again, it felt like it was firmly in control of South Carolina.
No, I think I agree. It never felt like South Carolina was going to lose. It's just like the, I held out hope for longer.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a close game. Also, I just should mention that all five South Carolina starters were in double digits. Bree Beal also was extremely... She was extremely offended when Haley Van Lith posted her up. Like, it was in the first quarter. Beal got posted up and just immediately swatted the ball into, like, the nether world. So good for her. I mean, she had three blocks.
Yeah.
From the guard position, so...
And I got a couple of good stats for you. I forget who tweeted this out using our research tool, I think. But she has scored 10 or more. She had 12 today, right?
12, yeah.
She scored 10 points or more three times this season. Tonight, the Creighton game, and once during the regular season.
Wow.
It's a good time to start heating up.
No, she's finding cuts and finding offensive rebounds. And, you know, when she has a small guard in her, it's pretty much curtains. And that's Louisville's game. So, hey, shout out to Louisville. Thanks for playing. We will miss you. We'll see you next year.
Great season, right? I think that, and they were clear about that too as well. So
yeah,
that they thought we're going to be proud. Jeff Walls talked about how they were going to cherish these memories. I believe is the quote,
mm-hmm.
And the time that they shared together. So I think they should feel really proud.
Making the Final Four is difficult. Yes. Also, you know, just saying, Miami beat one of the teams that was in the Final Four.
It all comes back to Miami.
Talk
about the weather in Miami versus Minneapolis.
I don't know if my voice sounds different, but yes, I would like this to be held in Miami every year. Let's talk about UConn-Stanford. This game was a little bit tough to swallow if you're a Stanford fan. I'll read out their game field goal percentages. Let's start with them from the field overall. 23 of 66, good for 34.8% from the field. From three, they were 4 of 23, 17.4%. And they hit two of those threes in this furious comeback at the end of the game. So it was worse for most of the game. From the free throw line, 8 of 13, 61%. You look at the other side, UConn was not that good offensively, but hey, they just did a little bit better. 36% from the field, 35% from three, 16 of 20, 80% from the line. Kids, make your free throws.
Okay, I got to stab and interrupt by the stats. So you commented on their three-point. They were 2 of 18 from three at one point, which is 11.1%. You look like you were trying to do that math. Too late for you. They hit those threes. So
the math guy.
17.4% in the Final Four. 17.6% they hit in the Elite Eight game. So they're like 7 for 40 was what I just said there. And those are two of their three worst three-point shooting games. So definitely a rough. And 50, they scored. Oh, I guess they ended up getting to 58 points. It was not their lowest scoring game of the season, but it sure looked like it when they had 44 with, like, 3 minutes left or something like that, right?
Should we say nice things about UConn before we get into Stanford? I thought UConn played well.
Yeah.
They played okay. Offensively, it wasn't good. They played well defensively, but I don't know. Did you see anything that jumped
up? I thought Paige Beckers played well. Yeah. And I liked how when she was a leader, like, in terms of she was, I think she finished with, like, 5 assists.
Oh, yeah.
But her assists were at crucial times. So when it was, like, a 3, and then I don't remember which player it was. And then it was another player as well when she gave the ball. And then, she showed her leadership skills, and I thought that was really great. And she rose to the occasion.
Yeah, which she does, right? Like, that's who she is. She's Paige Buckets for a reason. So 33 minutes, 7 of 13, 14 points, 5 assists, like you mentioned, 2 steals. She was good. I think Olivia Nelson-Adota had some decent, had some nice moments, right? She had that long free throw, top of the key jumper. It wasn't for the free throw line, so it was a little deeper. She only fouled. how many times she fouled? She fouled 4 times. That's what she ended up with. I think one of those was super late, too. She and Cameron Brink ended up with the same exact foul total, which was something we were watching.
Were betting on that. I think I had said Cameron Brink. We both said Cameron Brink was going to play more minutes. She did not.
No.
Although she was able to exceed her season average because she got 27. She had 15 minutes in the first half, which I thought was a good sign for Stanford, though. Didn't quite play out.
And then, you know, who else on? I mean, I think Kristen Williams. I mean, she was 3 of 13, but she hit a big 3 when they needed it.
Fudd with the free throws again. I believe she hit clutch free throws in that NC State Elite Eight game, and then she hit the 2 tonight, right?
4-4 from the line, 2-2 from the line for Williams, 4-5 for Nelson Adota. I think UConn can leave this game feeling good. I just don't think they. I'm don't want to be too hard on Stanford. I don't think UConn necessarily won this game. I think Stanford lost it.
I do kind of feel that way.
I agree.
One thing I want to talk about, Becker, so you were talking about that steal she had, which got the breakaway layup, right? And I don't think you said that. That was kind of a good leadership moment. Because, again, we still don't have, like, a super-duper signature Becker's player, right? Which, you know, makes sense. But, you know, she's just so talented, right? She can just sort of play under control and kind of do the right thing. She had a couple kind of clutch jumpers. She was. I tend to be very cautious about single game plus minus unless we can use it to make the point we want to make.
Yeah, exactly.
And she had the highest for the game today. She was plus 12 in a game that they won by, what was it, 5, right?
So, yeah, 5.
Again, but they didn't stand out. Yeah, like it didn't. They don't feel like a spectacular team, but they got it done. I guess they're peaking at the right time. Although, like, it wasn't, like, a dominant performance, right?
I think Paige is peaking at the right time.
Well, I think she's continuing to improve. I don't think she's at her peak yet. So.
Well, look, I mean, again, the last game of the season is on Sunday, so peak has to be coming.
I guess, whatever the peak is. It's not what it was last year, I don't think, right?
No, I'm saying,
I guess that's the point. That's her peak, man.
Peaking in this season, yeah.
It might be the highest she'll get to.
Paige was healthy all season, right? She probably is looking a lot better by now.
Exactly. And so that's why it's like, I think there's something a little bit, I hate to say it, it's like almost unsatisfying because we know how much better we think UConn could be if they were going to keep playing for another month or two.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's, well, maybe she gets even more magically healthy between now and Sunday.
That's right. Cryotherapy, baby.
But yeah, oh, Avina Westbrook, too. We should mention Avina Westbrook.
3 of 5.
3 of 5 from three. Good. 3 of 9 from the field. She was 0 of 4 from 2-point range.
Doris Burke says never do math on air. I'm impressed.
I got that one. That one was pretty easy. That was pretty easy math. Oh man, I like Westbrook personally. I think she has a lot of talent. She's long, rangy. Her defense was solid today, but the shooting finally coming around was huge.
Yeah, and it was needed too, because UConn needed buckets from everybody. Mm. It was that kind of game. So they came at crucial times too, and it felt like she was also, like, she has been all season, like, one of, like, the leaders for UConn as well in terms of, of like, helping them when they need it, or, like, a bucket, or, like, free throws or something like that. So I thought she did well today too, and she helped them when they needed it.
Anything else in UConn?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's interesting they're playing such a short rotation. Ducharme's not getting that many minutes, less than 8 tonight when she played a big role at moments earlier in the season, and we all actually thought that was going to pay off with more experience in these moments. But, you know, they're really playing, I mean, they're playing like a 6.5 person rotation, right? Westbrook played 31 minutes, which was third most on the team after Becker's and Williams. And, you know, it's a tight rotation. So, but I think if we want to transition to Stanford, like, I do agree with you that they just missed so many shots that, you know, if they had a more normal game, that they could have won it.
The problem with Stanford for me, it's not even missing shots, because missing shots happens, right? Yeah. You know, Lexi Hall went 2 for 12. She was going to fall down to earth. She was having an amazing tournament. And she had an amazing tournament. We shouldn't lose sight of that.
She always falls down to earth. She was on the floor again today. Sure. Always hustling, getting after it.
I love the Lexi, the Hall floor burn note.
Yeah. Lindsay was tweeting about us. Lindsay Schell for USA Today. Yeah. Was down last time.
Yeah, her and her sister, Lacey, were on the floor all the time. Yeah. Unfortunately, the ball was also not in the basket. So
that's not how it got there.
Yeah, 2 for 12 for Lexi Hall. But, you know, hey, she's going to fall back down to earth. It's that everyone else also is just completely out of sync. And this team that we were praising here last night about how well they run the offense, how well they know each other, how well Tara has coached them. I believe all those things are true. But in this game, they're just, like, running into each other on, like, simple plays that they run all the time. You know, they run that, I don't even know what it's called. It's like a twist action. Like, someone sets a pick, and then they go around it, and then there's another curl down to the lane. And they're, like, running into each other. And they've run this play. It is, like, the play that they run at least, like, 20 times a game. And they couldn't execute it. And you know, I think Tara also had some moments where, you know, her rotations were a little off, right? I think, maybe Hannah Jump should have played more. Like, I think that at the end of the game, Stanford actually had a chance because UConn made some mistakes.
Yeah.
And they And they, like, went for twos instead of threes, and I get it, kind of, because they were shooting 11% from
three. I wanted Prechtl to shoot the two instead of try to shoot the three with, like, less than 10 seconds left. They lost a lot of time on the clock at that moment. But, I think you're talking before that, but...
Yeah, I'm talking like, after Aaliyah Edwards, like, she, like, walked over. She got the inbound. She got the ball to inbound and then just, like, walked over the line by accident.
Yeah,
and tried to walk back before someone noticed, and they were like, no, it's a violation. You can't do that.
18,000 people in the arena. Yeah. We're going to see that one.
We caught it. And then they just didn't go for a three, and I thought that was the time to do it because, you know, UConn's a really good free throw shooting team. But end of the day, I really just think it was, like, they did not execute well at all on offense, and UConn's defense is too good to be playing like that. Maybe against another team you could do that, but when you're running into each other on plays that you've run all year, I just think there was something that was...
I gotta say, right. I'm too fried, so I do not have, like, a mental image in my mind when I close my eyes of that. Did you see that, Anila?
Not barely.
No, okay.
That's you watching lots of film, maybe, and recognizing that. Yeah. It's late here. We're all Eastern time anyhow. It's 1 o'clock in our houses.
You know, I do watch a ton of Stanford film because I love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah. And I think, it's, you know, sometimes it's an off night, right? I think
that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all,
two in a row, as I said, from the three-point thing. So, yeah, what did you think, Anila?
When I was watching it, I was like, okay, I feel like this is more of a... I agree with you. I felt like it's more of a Stanford loss than a UConn win because I kept watching the scoreboard. I kept watching them do plays, and I was just like, this is not Stanford. I know what their offense is. And when I was watching it live, I was like, yeah, this is not what I see.
I will say, I remember... tweeting out Skanda's basketball chesses, Stanford backdoor cuts. I forget which game it was, Sweet 16 or Elite 8. Did not feel compelled to tweet that out today during the Final Four loss.
I can't remember even a single time that
I think there was one.
They had a couple turnovers on those backdoor cuts, and that's actually, that was kind of the thing that, like, I was talking about yesterday. UConn's like, UConn's going to stuff that out. UConn's really good about figuring out where the backdoor cuts come from. But it's just like this. I'm not, like, saying they're a bad team or, like.
Well, I think you can solve the whole thing. So you know, I don't know how Coach Vandeveer's.
No, I couldn't. You can't solve it. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. There wasn't anything Tara could do. There's not an adjustment she can make, and there wasn't a thing that the team could do. It's you guys ever watched her movie The Replacements?
No.
A long time ago. I'm
okay,
sure.
So Shane,
I'm old enough to remember it.
Keanu Reeves is Shane Falco, as a quarterback, a replacement quarterback for a fake NFL team. He has, like, the speech where he's like, the thing I fear the most is quicksand. It's like when one thing goes wrong, and then another thing goes wrong, and another thing goes wrong, and another thing goes wrong, and another thing's over, and then you're just drowning by the end. It's like quicksand. And I feel like this was Stanford's quicksand game. Like, just things, you know, they miss one cut early on, then they missed they had turnover, then they missed the three, then and then by the end they were just drowning. And even when they had a chance to win that game, it felt like they were just, like, struggling to breathe.
Pop culture reference: when do you think that movie came out?
I don't know. I used to watch it in the car all the time when I was a kid. I'm gonna say this: it is my favorite movie of all time. And if you've seen
The Replacements,
if you've seen that movie, you know how ridiculous of a statement that is.
You gotta get out more.
I've watched The Godfather, I've watched all the good movies. It's just my favorite is The Replacements. I would say, like, 2003?
It's close. You've never heard of it, right?
No, I've never heard
2000.
Of it.
2000.
Wow.
We won't ask Megan how old she was when that movie came out.
Yeah, no, I guess I am old. Regardless, that's what it felt like for Stanford, and I just feel bad because they had a wonderful season. I think they deserve to go out on a higher note.
It's hard to be back-to-back champions, too, right? So, I mean, it's quite the run. You know, one stat that stuck out to me is that, you know, Jones had, I want to make sure I get this right, 20, and Brink had 15. So they had 35 of the, 58 points, which is, 60%. And, like, I always, when we talk about it, I forget if I said this last night, right? Like, one thing that I appreciate about Stanford is how egalitarian their offense is and how everybody scores. And so I think that's a little uncharacteristic that that's how it played out. But when you have players missing shots, you know, Anna Wilson was only 0 for 1, I think. You know, when the shots aren't falling from everybody else and that's what happens, then they kind of get a little out of, they can't be what they're usually all about. And when those other shots are falling, they can be one of the best teams in the country.
I feel bad for Stanford more so than anything. That's my biggest takeaway. Is I feel bad for those players because I think they're going to go home and, you know, it feels like you left something on the table.
I think Louisville's going to feel that way too.
You are, yeah, but Louisville also, like, at the end of the day, you can hang your hat on, well, that team beat us, right? Like, yeah. We can't sit here and say, like, hey, maybe we made more threes, maybe we did this, but you could say that team beat us. I think Stanford's going to go home and say we kind of beat ourselves. We'll see what happens. We'll get the press conference report from Megan when she gets back. I mean, that's all I got on the game. You got closing thoughts, Nilo?
I thought it was an interesting two games, and that's all I'll say about that.
What do you think of the atmosphere, though? I thought the atmosphere in the Target Center was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought they honored their hometown star,
yeah,
Paige Beckers, really nicely. And that's all I'll say.
And they honored Minnesota basketball, yep, as well, the state of Minnesota and Minnesota basketball as well too. I am jaded and also spoiled. I thought the atmosphere was good but not great. The first Final Four I ever went to was the 2018 Columbus with the Rike. And I will say, I don't know if this person wants to be named. We talked to a prominent journalist this morning. But you know, I don't know how much facetiously and how much seriously they're like, oh, I think we're going to get a couple classics. And my take was, like, we've been blessed with so many amazing games. Right? Even the championship game last year there, Stanford won, was like 50. I mean, it was 54-52, but it was a 2-point game. And it's just, you can't get that every time. But it was exciting to be there and a great moment. It wasn't the best advertisement for women's basketball because they were low scoring games, lots of missed shots, but it was still great to be here. It's great to be in an environment where everyone values women's basketball as well. Even Mary Tyler Moore, we tweeted out as well. So like, I thought it was good, but not great. We don't have to have the best game in women's basketball history every single time there's a new game in the Final Four. So they were close, right? I mean, a 5-point game for the game.
I thought the crowd, I mean, there's 18,000, I believe, there in the stadium. The crowd was good. Louisville fans stuck around. South Carolina fans stuck around.
I was debating that with Jacob. I was sitting with Jacob Mox, and we were, I will say, the UConn fans, a little bit late arriving. It was a little quieter for the early games because they were the late game.
A pretentious UConn fans.
Yeah. I don't think it's quite Laker fans. But we were impressed that, especially the Louisville fans sticking around for the second. We weren't sure if everyone, Gamecock and Louisville fans, were going to leave. So it was nice to see that the crowd was full for the late game.
Yeah. I thought that was great. And then the other thing that made the atmosphere better, good for me, is obviously you run into a ton of people in these, like, basketball. You run into a ton of basketball people, right? And, like, as a very serious journalist, you have to be, like, professional and whatever, right? So, like, with those people, it's like, hey, I'm working. I walked past Michelle Young, the Bachelorette, and the guy who won, Nate, who they're engaged, I guess it's her fiance, and I like melted. I like didn't say hi because I saw them, I panicked, and like my legs kind of went to jello and I freaked out. So I was totally starstruck by the Bachelorette.
Everybody who knows you in person, the idea that you did not have words, that you were ready coming out of your mouth, is going to be shocked to hear that.
I was extremely disappointed in myself. I'm going to say that.
We were debating that. We think that she is the biggest celebrity that was in the arena? Because that's been a question I've been asking the whole time. It's like, who's going to be the biggest celebrity here?
So we didn't see Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah. He wasn't on the fan cam, which you would have. So you can't complain that he was on the fan cam too many times.
I'm going to give it a quick Google to see if Russell Wilson was there.
I think we would have seen on Google. We would have seen people complain that Russell Wilson was there, as if, like, it's bad that he's supporting his sister.
No, the first thing that comes up is
where is Russell Wilson?
No timetable for Russell Wilson extension. So, oh no, they were there. They were there.
Oh, so
Sierra was there. Okay, Sierra's the biggest one.
Yeah. Now, but legitimate question: like, do you think Paige Beckers has more Instagram followers than them or not? I'm not as up on the hip social media like you, or the tiki-taki, as Christy would say.
I'm guessing Sierra has more. Sierra's like Sierra, man. Like, that's, she's a big deal. Well, I guess maybe she's only a big deal to us.
Are we old to appreciate her? So I do wonder if the younger folks don't the high school fans that we saw.
I don't know, but I'm going to go with Sierra. But Michelle would... The only person I would have freaked out running into was Michelle Young, who I love. If she listens to this podcast, she should come on the
podcast. Former All-NBC great, right, for Bradley? Michelle
Bradley
Young, let's say.
Bradley,
you gotta look up her stats. We've got them on her stats.
Yeah, I might find some tape of her to put together, because I kind of want to watch it. defensive stalwart. We don't have to get into her career. We should probably end this now. We've gone on too long. Do you have a parting thought? I didn't ask your parting thought.
My parting thought was going to be, who did you think? Okay. I wanted to prompt you to tell that story. So my parting thought is, Gabe, thanks for staying up and making this happen. I know you were a little tired. Neil, it's great to have you. Yeah, like I said, it was great to have all 18,000 people with us hanging out with our hoops stats tonight at the Target Center. It was pretty cheap to run out.
We had an excellent time. We got to do the podcast straight from there. They will not let us do that. That's only reserved for Sue Bird and Diane Taurasi. But yeah, I think that'll do it.
How about you, Anila? You got any parting thoughts?
Oh yeah, I skipped over that one.
It's okay. No, I'm too tired to have any parting thoughts.
Well, it's great to see you in person. It's the first time either of us have gotten to meet you in person. So yeah. I believe this is your first Final Four, right?
Yeah, it is.
So is it everything you dreamed of, or what were you? Maybe a little less. That's not exactly. That's fair.
UConn
right?
ruins everything. Good night. No, we're signing off. We're signing off. UConn ruins everything. Good night.
At Gabe Ibrahim if you have comments.
We're just kidding, guys. It was a lovely day of basketball. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We're going to have a preview for the championship, and we will obviously be talking after the championship. Make sure you keep locked at Hoops Stats across social media. We'll be giving you a lot of content from Minneapolis. So we'll talk to you guys next time.